just like the story we're going to look at today. But as we begin, I'd like to say another word of prayer. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we long to hear your voice. We long to hear you speaking. God, as we talk about hearing your voice, we want to hear your voice. We want you to speak to our hearts, not just about theories and concepts, but about our lives, how we can know Jesus better today. Lord, we want to give you a chance just to speak to our hearts. Lord, as we listen to your word, may we continue to invite you to talk to our hearts, to speak to us just what we need to hear for today. Lord, may your Holy Spirit be in this place, and may you be lifted up and glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. In Northeast Philadelphia, they had a problem. See, in Northeast Philadelphia, they have a graffiti problem, just like is common in Modesto and a lot of other places. But they decided that they were going to take care of this problem in a little unorthodox way. What they did was they took, and one day they started putting up these little boxes in corners of this playground. Well, people were looking at the boxes. What are those going to do? They put cages over the boxes so nobody could take the boxes down. And here, I can show you what these boxes look like. Does that look like it's going to stop a graffiti artist? All right, so they put this little box up there, and the crazy thing that happened was every night, about 10 p.m., all of the graffiti artists would not be in the park. However, adults had no problem being in the park whatsoever. They found that this little box took care of the problem of vandalism in this park. And adults had no idea, what does this box even do? We can't tell anything about this box. There's nothing coming out of the box. Why do the kids run away from this box? We don't understand what's up with this box. What is this box? Well, this box is called the Mosquito Box, and it's by a company called Kids Be Gone. This company has made this box where it puts out a high-frequency noise. Maybe you've heard ringtones sometimes. Well, if you're under the age of 20, you've heard ringtones sometimes. They're really high-pitched, kind of like a mosquito. Well, this box puts out a really high-frequency noise that's really loud, and it bothers any teenager, anyone under the age of 20, so much that they can't stand to stay in the park. Pretty crazy, isn't it? You know, kids have very sensitive ears. As we get older, our ears begin to become a little dulled. In fact, I was just looking at something about hospitals, and I found out that the ECRI, whoever that is, they put out a report about technology dangers in hospitals. They rated the top 10 technology dangers in hospitals, basically what technology in the hospital causes the most deaths. Well, turns out that the most deaths are caused by alarm fatigue. Those of you who work in a hospital might understand what that is, but basically it means that those who work in a hospital, they're so frequently exposed to alarms that they become immune to them. They become desensitized. Pretty soon the alarm can be going off and they don't even hear it anymore. This resulted in, I think it said something like 90 deaths or something like that in 2014. It's crazy what not being able to hear something can do to us. But kids' ears are very sensitive. They're very able to hear things. And it's no wonder that Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 3, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So we're going to look at today. We're not talking about just physically hearing, but we want to know, how do we hear the voice of God? Jesus says, if you have sensitive ears like a child, like the child Samuel. Would you open your Bibles to 1 Samuel in chapter 3? 1 Samuel chapter 3, we heard it in the scripture reading. It tells us the story of a boy named Samuel. Now, this story might be somewhat familiar to you. You might have heard it a little bit growing up. You might have heard it in Sabbath school. But this story holds some important keys for us as we seek to hear God's voice. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, now the boy Samuel. Samuel is only a boy. Samuel was dedicated immediately after he was weaned by his mother at the age of about 3 years old. Dedicated to God, taken to the temple, left by his parents to constantly minister to God at the age of about 3 years old. Incredible. Can you moms of three-year-olds, or you fathers who have had three-year-olds, can you imagine just dropping them off at church here? Maybe we could set up a bed up here in the front so they could sleep here and they could constantly be ministering here in the church and taking care of the church for us. That's some incredible dedication. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days, basically meaning the word of the Lord was precious. The Hebrew word there is the same that's used often to describe the most precious stone. The word of the Lord was precious. It was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. So there weren't a lot of people who were hearing the word of the Lord. There weren't a lot of people who were experiencing what it meant to hear God's voice. Do you think that could be the case today? Do you think that today we're not always experiencing God's voice? We're not always hearing God's voice. Is the word of God rare and precious today? It's interesting because as we look further at this story, we're going to learn something. Just like Pastor Brian talked about last week, when he talked about how God's voice is constantly speaking through nature, we're going to find that God is constantly sending us messages. The question is, are we hearing them? The word of the Lord may be rare, but is that because he's not speaking, or is that because of our ears and our sensitivity to his voice? And it came to pass, verse 2, at that time, while Eli was lying down in the place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, they're both lying down in the near the temple, they're both sleeping, it's nighttime, when all of a sudden, in verse 4, the Lord called. The Lord called. Now this is that rare moment in this time of history, because this is the time right after Judges, right in Judges 21, it says at the end of Judges that in that day there was no, basically they did whatever was right in their own eyes. Everyone did whatever they pleased. It was a day when you didn't often hear from God. The word of the Lord was rare, but here it says, and the Lord called. Who did he call? The Lord called Samuel. Now, we're so used to this story that that's, oh, yeah, he called Samuel. Of course he called Samuel. But here's the incredible thing. Samuel is just a boy, just a servant in the temple, just doing menial tasks in the temple on a daily basis. Who is Samuel to receive this rare and precious word from God? Who is this boy Samuel that he should hear the voice of God? I mean, the high priest, Eli, is the one who wears the ephod with the Urim and Thummim on it, and people are supposed to be able to hear God's direction, to understand God's leading in their lives based upon what the high priest receives a message from God. And here you have this little boy in the temple, and he's the one hearing the word of God. Kids, don't ever underestimate what God wants to do through you. What you did today is just the tip of the iceberg of what God wants to do in your life. God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak through you. He wants to touch lives through you. We go on and we read in the story Samuel's response. Look at how Samuel responds. We're in verse 4, that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here I am." And then watch in verse 5. So he ran to Eli. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night? Maybe that last night, we have some new neighbors. I don't know, Doug, if you heard them, but they're playing some louder music next door to our house in the back corner of our house. And it woke me up at one point during the night. And my first response wasn't just to go running anywhere. It was thinking, wow, it's the middle of the night. But Samuel, when he hears that call, his first reaction is to go running. Samuel goes running to Eli. He doesn't know who's calling. Verse 5, so he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli responds, he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. So we go through the story. You know the story. It continues to repeat. Samuel goes and he lays back down. Then he hears Samuel. So he gets back up and he goes running to Eli again. And Eli says, "No, I didn't call you." So he goes back again. He lays down again. And a third time he hears Samuel. He comes running again. "Eli, I know that you called me." "It wasn't me. I didn't call you." But look at what he says on the third time. If you jump down to verse 8. "Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lay it down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Now what was different about this call than the other three calls? Not a whole lot, right? God is still speaking to him. He's been speaking to him all along. He continues to speak to him. He comes once again to say, "Samuel." The difference now is in the ears. Because Samuel has learned that this is God calling him. You know, about a week ago, I've really been praying for God to help me to hear his voice. We've been going through this sermon series and asking to hear God's voice more. And I've been having a prayer request. I've asked Pastor Brian this, you know, pray that I hear God's voice more clearly on a daily basis. I want to know what he wants me to do. I want to know the way in which I should walk. I want to know how to go about my day. Well, one day I was headed home and I'm driving along when all of a sudden I thought, you know what, I'm going to offer, we just done some visits and I was on my way home and I thought, you know, I'm going to call Leah and see if she needs me to pick up anything from the grocery store on the way home. She's like, "Oh, really? Yeah, that'd be great. Pick something up in the grocery store." So going to the grocery store on the way home, I go and I grab the things she was talking about. And as I'm going through the checkout line, suddenly the thought hits me. And I didn't even think about it before this. I thought, "You need to give a glow track to this cashier." I was like, "Really? Okay, I could do that." So I reach in my pocket and pull out handy little packet and pull out a glow check, say, "Hey, ma'am, here's something good for you to read. I think you'll enjoy it." She said, "Thank you." I thought, "Well, God, was that you? Were you telling me to give him that glow check?" Well, I assume so. As I got in the car and I'm driving home, you know, I said, "God, I just want to hear your voice." And I pulled into my garage and I noticed across the street was my neighbor. My neighbor has not the one that plays the loud music, a different one. My neighbor across the street has a very nice classic car that he works on quite consistently. He was out there working on his car, and this was right at the time when the American Graffiti car shows and everything were going on. So I thought, "Oh, I need to go over there and I need to talk to the neighbor." I thought, "No, he's all the way inside his garage. It's going to be awkward for me to walk all the way over there, to go in the garage and say, 'Hey,' and then what am I going to say when I go over there?" But the thought just kept coming back, "Go and talk to your neighbor." So I said, "Okay, God, just in case this is your voice, I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to my neighbor." So I began walking back over, walked over to the garage, and just then he was headed inside the house, and I thought, "This is my out." But he wasn't quite inside the house, and so I said, "Hey, Joe." So he turned around, and I said, "Hey, so you're working on your car?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "You're going to put it in the American Graffiti show?" And he said, "Yeah, I registered for it, but I got to get it waxed and dried." Anyway, talked to him for a little bit, just had a small connection, and I thought, "God, was that you?" So I walked back across the street, and I was walking in the house. I thought, you know, I think God is speaking to us a whole lot more than we give him credit. I think he's constantly wanting to direct us, but how often am I actually asking him, "Lord, is this the way in which I should go? Is this what I should do?" So I thought, well, God, what do you want me to do? When I go inside the house right now, I need to get some work done. Should I just go to my computer, start working on it? And the thought came, no. Leah's probably going to be working on her work. You should go help her. I thought, really? I have a lot to get done right now. I think I need to go work on my work. Thought came again, just go work on it. Go help her with her work. So I walked to the bedroom where she was, and I just began to talk to her and help her with, she was working, planning for the kids' church that we were going to have that week. And we just, as we were working on it, she hadn't had a lot of the details planned yet, and God helped us as we prayed together and we worked on it, that a lot of the details began to come together. And at the end of that, I remember her sitting there and she said, thank you so much just for taking the time. What made you come in here? What made you come to work on this to help me when you have this other stuff to do? I said, well, I just felt like God told me I should. She said, really? God told you to come help me? And in that moment, I realized God is speaking a whole lot more than I give him credit for. It's just my ears are so often not tuned in, and I've gone through a lot of days since that day, in which at the end of the day I think, wait, was God speaking to me today too? Or did I miss it? Was I too busy? Was I running around not thinking about what God was saying? What was it in this story that gave Samuel the ability to hear God's voice? What was it that gave Samuel the ability to hear God's voice but yet Eli and his sons were not able to hear God's voice? Keep reading in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11. It says, then the Lord said to Samuel, he's going to give the message to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day, I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. What is he going to perform? All that he has what? Spoken. You see, if you read back over the previous chapters, God has been trying to get through to Eli, to Hophni, and to Phinehas, his two sons. He's been trying to send messages. He's been trying to get through to them. It's like God is saying, can you hear me now? How about now? How about if I send a man of God to tell you what's going on and how you're turning away from me? Can you hear the voice of Jesus yet? Do you hear me now? And yet throughout the story, as God goes on to say here, Eli's tuning him out. He goes and gives a weak rebuke to his sons, but he doesn't fully follow through with what he's to do. If you read verse 12 or verse 13, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. You see, we see a contrasting picture in these first three chapters of Samuel. You see, right from the beginning, first of all, the first few verses, it introduces Samuel to us, or it introduces his parents to us, not Samuel. But then immediately after that, it tells us about there were the two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And throughout the story, it goes back and forth between these two families who are living polar opposite lives. And one family hears the voice of God. One family asks of God for things to happen and things happen, but the other family is little by little rejecting the voice of God. They're closing their ears. They're becoming desensitized to the voice of God. What makes the difference? Well, just look at the life that Samuel lived. If you look at how Samuel lived, you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 18. If you know the story of Samuel, you know that Hannah was Samuel's mom, right? Did you know that, kids? Do you know what Hannah did in order to have Samuel? She prayed, that's right. So Hannah is desperate to have a child. Back in these days, if you didn't have a child, it was seen as basically like a curse from God. Here she was, and her hope would be to have the child of promise, and yet she hasn't had any children. She's a failure as a wife. It was important to have kids. And so she goes in the temple, she's pleading with God, and Eli tells her, okay, you're going to have a son. She has the son Samuel, and look at what she does. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the... Sorry, back in chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 22. Sorry about that. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned. Yearly they would go up to the feast. They would offer sacrifices. But Hannah's saying, no, we're not going to go up. Only let the word, the Lord... Then I will take him that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. They go on and they sacrifice a bull. But then in verse 28 it says, therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Can you imagine? Here you have your only child who you've pled with God. Would you please bless me so that I could have a child? And you get that child. You mother that child for the first 3 years of its life. And then you, as a mom, you as a dad, you take that child to the temple at the age of 3 years, like we talked about, and you give that child to serve God forever. Can you imagine that? Can you kids imagine your parents dropping you off here at church and you're going to serve God for the rest of your lives here in the church? It's a pretty incredible commitment, isn't it? And yet year after year, you find that they're faithful to this commitment. You find that Elkanah and Hannah would year by year, they'd come back and they'd have a brand new robe that they'd woven for Samuel. They were watching out for Samuel. They were supporting him in his mission. They were doing everything possible so that he could be wholly devoted to God. You know, this is what it means to follow Jesus Christ, to be a disciple of Jesus, is to serve him in every area of our lives. Maybe you're not called to be a pastor. Maybe you're not called to full-time ministry in the church exactly, but you are called to full-time ministry in your life. Every single person is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. Your mission is not to be a lawyer, not to be a dentist, not to be a doctor. Those are excellent careers. Not to be a plumber, which is also an excellent career. Not to be anything except for to live your life wholly for Jesus Christ. Those other options are great things as far as ways to make money, but Jesus says, go and make disciples. This is your mission, to live a life wholly devoted to God. And in living that life wholly devoted to God, as you serve God with all your heart, as you go wholeheartedly after him, you'll find that you're going to hear God's voice speaking to you far more clearly. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, it says that God is looking for those who wholly devote themselves to God. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. God is looking for people that say, I'm all for you. My heart is all for you. Yes, I'm in this career, or I'm doing that, or I'm going to this school or that school. But God, my life is all for you. Dedicate my all to you, Jesus. That's what Jesus is looking for. He's wondering, is there any young person who's going to say, my whole heart is going to be loyal to you. I'm going to follow your voice no matter what it tells me to do. This is what you find in the life of Samuel. You find in the life of Samuel that he hears God's voice because he has wholly devoted himself to God, to minister before God forever. That's when we hear God's voice. Parents, that's when your young person is going to hear God's voice, is when you support them in being wholly devoted to God. I just want to say a huge thank you to all the parents of the kids who participated today. They've had to help them prepare their music pieces, to prepare their awesome appeals and different things that they've done. They've had to drive them here last night for a practice. They've had to support them, just like Hannah and Elkanah had to support Samuel in his ministry. Parents, there's nothing better than to dedicate your kid to serve God for the rest of his life. There's nothing better than to serve Jesus wholeheartedly. Samuel wouldn't take it back. He became the judge. He became the priest, basically. He was like ruler over all of Israel for many years. He saw Israel change to experience a major revival that led eventually to King David becoming king. An incredible transformation in Israel through the life of that one small boy who said, "I will serve the Lord and I will do whatever he tells me to do." How many of you kids want to be that kind of a boy or a girl? Well, on the other hand, we have the story of Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, which is contrasted if you read through chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, that they were on an exact opposite course. That time after time, messages come to them and they continue to reject what God had told them to do. In fact, Hophni and Phinehas, when people would come into the sanctuary, they didn't even respect God's house enough to follow the rules that God had laid down for worship. Now today it might seem like a small thing to us. When a worshiper would come to offer their sacrifice and they would boil their meat, they would take a hook and they would put in and they would pull out as much meat as they wanted as their share. And they said, "We deserve it. We're going to take it and we'll take it by force if you deny it to us." Well, they were ignoring the laws of Deuteronomy that say you can have the shoulder and the breast as the priest, and the rest of that offering, that Thanksgiving offering, should go back to your family so that they can enjoy it. They also were ignoring the part about eating raw flesh. They're taking the meat before it's even cooked. They were taking the meat before the fat had been burned off of it. They were ignoring the instructions of God's law. They might have seemed like little things to them. It might have just seemed like small steps, and yet they were rejecting the voice of God. You remember Pastor Brian talked at the very beginning about Josiah and how when Josiah heard the law of God, when he heard the voice of God, what did he do? He obeyed. He followed it. And in Hebrew, when it says Shema, to hear, it's basically to obey, right? So here when he goes and he hears the voice of God, he obeys it. But when you find Hophni and Phinehas, they're not obeying. The Lord sends a message to Samuel from a man of God finally, and again he rejects that. Look with me at verse 22 of chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. Hophni and Phinehas, as they've been rejecting, slowly rejecting that voice that's been coming to them step by step, as they've been shunning it, as they've been desensitizing themselves to it, they finally reach a low ebb. It says in verse 22, "Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting." Here are these men who are supposed to be men of God, who are supposed to be leading people to Jesus, to experience Jesus, were now desecrating the very people who came to worship God. That's what happens when we slowly reject, when we refuse to listen to the voice of Jesus. As we begin to reject it, we head in the opposite direction, and pretty soon we think that we're okay, and really, we're not okay at all. You see, this seems absolutely terrible to us, to imagine that a person would do this with a person who came to church. But to Hophni and Phinehas, because they weren't paying any attention to the word of God, because they weren't looking to the law, because they weren't obeying what they heard from God, they probably were looking to the culture around them. They were probably taking their cues from what other people said, this is what worship should look like. And they were probably just going along with the customs of the time, which included in many of the ancient Near Eastern cultic services to have cultic prostitutes. It was just a regular thing back in the day that you would have cultic prostitutes that the priests would sleep with. And so here you find Hophni and Phinehas just simply following along with the culture of their day. I found in my life, it's all too easy to follow along with the culture, with the voices that I hear all around me that I can see that are the popular voices in society, rather than to follow the voice of Jesus. I mean, it seems egregious what these people were doing. But yet, how often have I rejected the sacrifice of Jesus? That's what it represented, what they were doing in the temple, right? As they were sacrificing, as they were doing their service in the temple, it was representing what Jesus was coming to do. What did Jesus say that he came to do? He came to set us free. And the angels, when they announced his birth, they said, he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus came to save us from sin. And yet, how often do I simply look at the sins around me and embrace them? In Psalm chapter 66, in verse 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. When it says to regard, it's basically to look at, to observe, to ponder something. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. It severs that connection from God when I cling to sin, when I look at the sin around me, even if it's just in my heart. That's the level that Jesus took it to, right? On the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is there and he says, well, you've heard it say that you should not commit adultery, like Hophni and Phinehas were doing. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. But I say to you, don't even look after a woman with lust in your heart. Jesus said, take it to the level of the heart. And the psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not hear. He wouldn't hear my prayer. And if the Lord's not hearing my prayer, how much less am I going to be hearing what God's voice is saying to me? Isaiah 59 and verse 2 says that your sins have separated you from God. It's our sin that separates us from God. And so while Samuel is wholeheartedly, fully devoting himself to Jesus and saying, I'm going to serve you and your sanctuary. I'm going to do whatever it takes to follow you. You find that Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas are little by little rejecting the voice of God. That Hophni and Phinehas are blatantly following iniquity. That they have their eyes set on the world around them. Set on the standards of the cultic society around them rather than set on the law which God had given them. Psalm 101, verses 2 and 3, the psalmist says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? When will you come to me, God? When will you show up like you showed up to Samuel? Isn't that the question of your heart? Don't you want to hear the voice of God just like Samuel heard the voice of God? I want to hear it. I want to hear it a whole lot more. And I realize he's speaking a lot more than I'm listening. And I think a lot of the time I'm simply distracted. The psalmist goes on to say, well, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It says, I hate the work of those who are going against God. I hate those things that nailed Jesus to the cross. Friends, I realize that while I'm so thankful for what Jesus has done for me in my life, that far too often I'm entertained by the things that put him on the cross. I get my feed from anywhere except for from God. You know, I had a friend who I was working with down in Bakersfield. He was in high school, and one day he called me up, and he's like, you know, I just really want to hear the voice of God. Why can't I hear God speaking to me? And in the background, I heard his radio going, and on his radio was a station that I hadn't listened to in a few years. And I said, what are you listening to? He's like, that's the rap station, whatever it was, listening to rap. It's like, oh, okay. How much of the day do you listen to that rap music? He's like, well, I listen to that pretty much the whole day. But in the morning, I take 15 minutes and I listen to God. I read the Bible for 15 minutes and I don't hear him speak to me. I said, man, you're listening to messages from the world for 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day. And for 15 minutes, you say, God, won't you speak to me right now? And then afterward, you say, well, God, I didn't hear you. God just must not care. He must not speak to me. I believe that God is trying to speak to me a lot more than I realize. I believe he's trying to speak to you a whole lot more than we realize. Friends, the question today is, will we listen? Will we be willing to respond to the God who loved us enough to send his only son to die on a cross for our sins? You know, there's really two options here. On the one hand, there's to wholeheartedly devote ourselves to Jesus, to taking the message of a crucified and risen Savior to the whole world. God wants to raise you young people up as an army to take that message to the whole world. He wants some of you to be doctors. He wants some of you to be dentists. He wants some of you to be construction workers. He wants some of you to be plumbers in taking the gospel to the world in the process. Some of you he wants to be missionaries. Some of you he wants to be pastors. But no matter what your profession is, God's goal for you is to take the gospel to the world. And as you devote your life wholly to him, you'll hear the voice of God. But on the other hand, if we tune into the world around us, if we're looking for cues from the world around us, if we're saying, hey, well, what is it saying? What do they say I should live? What do they say would be a successful career for me? Where should I go according to their standards? If we're regarding iniquity in our heart, if we're taking time to have things in our house that directly deny what Jesus has done for us on the cross, which is to take away sin, to take away all the things which he was put there for, murder, lust, lying, cheating, killing, all of these things, Jesus died on the cross so that we wouldn't have to deal with it anymore. And yet, how often have I spent my time being entertained, watching those things take place, or listening about those things, rejoicing, having fun, laughing about the things that put Jesus on the cross? God, forgive me. God, forgive us. He's speaking to us. Will we listen? Will we wholly devote our lives to him? So that we can hear his voice, so that we can follow his will, so that we can experience the abundant life which he has promised to us. That life which is beyond our wildest imaginations. I want to close with prayer. And in that prayer, I just want to invite you to take a moment in the silence and to ask God, is there any way in which I'm missing your voice? Ask God to help you to hear his voice on a more consistent basis. This is my desire. And I believe it's your desire too. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we long to hear your voice. We long to understand more clearly your will. Won't you speak to us even now, even here in this place, as we take a moment in silence? Thank you, Jesus, that you went all the way for us. Thank you that you were wholly devoted to us. You held nothing back. May we hold nothing back from you. Lord, as young people, this summer, may we make this the most valuable summer as we dedicate it wholly to you, as we take our time to listen to your voice and not to the voice of another. Lord, as older people, may we encourage the young people around us and not make the mistake of Eli in failing to guide, to hear the voice of Jesus. And may we ourselves take the time each day to hear your voice. And may we respond like Samuel, saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. May God bless each and every one of you as you go out this week to hear the voice of God and to do his will. God bless you. May you have a wonderful week.